Yes, it's been a while. But it's time to wake up and smell the coffee, because search for the best mocha latte in the world is back. Great show coming up this week. We have the coffee scene for five towns on the Northeast USA. And we have the Coffee Day Extravaganza with the Circus Band. And there's a new member to my coffee family. And an all-new Mod Dog exclusive coming up next. Welcome back to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World, where every week I'm coming to you from a different town out here on the road. This is Circus Boy Nathan Slayball coming to you from the Flying Dutchman this week with my RV. And it's always unscripted, always unedited. So if I say something that makes me sound like a half-baked coffee bean, well, I don't edit it out, just leave it up there, because, yeah, it makes it more real that way. But any case, so yes, let me first talk about, I'm sorry folks, it's been quite a while since I put my last podcast up, and there's many reasons why, and I could fill sizable tomes on, you know, just putting up there why, but just suffice it to say, I apologize. I got sick in Portland, and then it rained for almost a week straight in Syracuse, which meant I couldn't really ride the bike around too much, and I was kind of recovering from getting sick. I think I had food poisoning, and then I was fixing my RV and had that in the shop again, and then working on the motorcycle. So it's been quite the hectic. Oh yeah, and plus there was doctor's appointments where I was afraid that there was something more serious wrong than the food poisoning. But in any case, it's all good. I'm back in action. I'm healthy again, and there's something new in my... That's right, you hear that? You hear that? Uh-huh. That's right, that is my long-awaited new addition to my my coffee family, I guess you could say. It's my new KitchenAid Proline burr mixer. If you tuned into the last podcast when we were in Lake Placid, which seems, oh my goodness, seems so long ago, I was anticipating the arrival of my grinder, this wonderful grinder I have sitting here today. And since I finally did get it at the next town, it all runs together. But in any case, I've definitely been putting it through its paces, and it's been performing quite admirably, I would have to say. So I'm a little trigger happy on my mixer. So if I just happen to flip it on, get a little excited, you know, because I have the new mixer here, well, that's cool. I like that. Okay. So you have to bear with me. I'm kind of excited about my new mixer. But this week we have Coffee Scene of Five Towns, and I'm going to put up here the Coffee Day. We had a Coffee Day in Syracuse, New York. It was a lot of fun with the band. And the Bean to Bow series will continue next week. I'm not going to have enough time for it in this podcast because I'm playing catch-up this week. Catch-up with the Coffee Scene and catch-up with everything else. So the Bean to Bow series will continue next week. So let's start right into the Coffee Scene. And before I do that, as per tradition, I have my espresso machine here, and I always make espresso or coffee because there's nothing better than drinking espresso or coffee while talking about coffee, of course. So I have here my espresso machine and my newest addition to the coffee family, the grinder. And I'm going to go through it. Usually I have the espresso machine ready to go, but this week I figured with the new grinder I have to initiate it to the podcast and grind the beans right here, right now. So I have Brick House Coffee. They were in Erie, and I bought a pound of their espresso, and I don't know if it's a blend, and I'm just gonna open it up here for the first time. Whoop. Oh dang, there goes my, that was my water, wastewater reservoir. So I had this set up on my table here in the RV, because there's not enough room in my little kitchenette area in the RV to do all this technology and coffee and all this. Whoa, there we go. All right, so we got the beans. Looks like, smells good. Doesn't look like it's a blend. It looks more of, if you remember the episode of the Bean to Bowl series where we talked about the roast, it looks like it's almost into the second crack, the because there's a lot of oils. It's a pretty dark roast because there's a lot of oils on the surface here. So I'm going to pour about enough to pull two shots of espresso here, pull it in the hopper. Now this grinder, you have to bear with me here, has it's pretty, I'd say, unique design in that it has the motor to the side. Most of them have the motors facing upright, and it kind of looks like, since it's a KitchenAid, it actually looks like one of their blenders, which are very fine quality products as well, I have to say. But this one has the hopper on the top and then the catch thing on the bottom, and I've well, not that, probably most of you don't care about the KitchenAid grinder, but it has basically 16 settings on it, and if you're going to do espresso with it, you want to, you can tinker around with it. I put it as tight as I could, just about as tight as I could, and then backed it off one notch, so the wheels slightly, well, there's beans in it, but the wheels slightly touched. And you're probably asking, why did I spend a lot of money on a new grinder? Well, number one, before I had a blade grinder from my college days. If you had listened to the last Bean to Bowl series, I talked a little more about blade grinders and burr grinders and such. And I'm getting a little more into espresso here. I'm no professional by any means. I'm just a coffee enthusiast. And so for espresso, you need a finer grind and a uniform grind. It's pretty picky. Plus, you also need 190 degree water under 9 bar pressure. But the grinder part of it, I'm slowly eliminating the the factors here to get the, I wouldn't call it the perfect shot of espresso, but I'm trying to get more consistent with the quality of espresso. Any case, so let's grind the beans here. You're not probably going to be able to hear me while I grind, so bear with me here. And this thing plows through beans like a, I don't know what, like a commercial lawnmower through a, I don't know. It trust me, it flies through them. So give me a second here. Oh yeah, that's right, look at that thing go. Woo! Black gold. Get all the beans in there. Look at that thing go. Plowing right through the beans, that's right. It's no trouble for you. That's right, because you're a KitchenAid, okay. Nice. So yeah, you probably heard the engine. Sometimes burr grinders will, the engines will slow down, especially when you're doing a fine grind, or they'll get really hot and you'll get a lot of static electricity. But this one, let me take the beans out here and look at, yeah, that looks good. That looks really good. It's this is the first time, like I said, I just opened this package from the Brick House Coffee, so I haven't ground any of their beans before. And yeah, the grinder did a great job. It's a very fine powder, kind of not quite to Turkish coffee, but very uniform. And yeah, this is great. So let me get here. Now I'm going to start the espresso machine, and I always run this particular one. I don't have a fancy espresso machine because I can't afford it right now, but this one is a pump machine, and I always run, I'd say for a few seconds, run some warm water through it just to get all the parts warmed up, because you want the channel the water comes down, and also the cups to be as warm as possible when you're brewing, pulling your shots on the espresso. That way everything's heated up and you don't lose any heat in the process here. So okay, I should be about good. take my cups out there and clean out this. Whoops. Clean out the portafilter. And the portafilter is the thing on top that, it's the thing with the handle. You see, it kind of looks like a, I don't know what it looks like. It looks like a portafilter. I guess there's nothing else that really, really looks like a portafilter. So I'll clean that out. And next step is to put the espresso. I'm kind of taking you along the way here so you can understand the sounds. Take the coffee that I just grinded, coffee beans, and I'm going to put it in the portafilter. And you want to tamp it down. Now, they do make special tampers just for espresso. I don't have one yet. I'm in the process of ordering one. I'm getting there. Like I said, I'm gradually eliminating the factors that detract from good espresso. So put the coffee in there and try to get that a little bit more. Take a little bit more. All right, that should be about good. And you want to even tamp, and they say between, I don't know, 30 and 35 pounds of pressure to go that you do the tamp. They say one way you can test that is by putting a scale under your portafilter when you're tamping it, and you can, you know, find out how much pressure you're putting on there. So, got that tamped. All right, we're gonna put portafilter back up to the machine. There we go. And we got the cups. Okay, put the cups under there, and start the espresso maker back up. All right. So while those shots are coming down there, let's talk about the coffee scene. Like I said, it's been quite a while. I think almost a month since. Did I get it too? It is possible to grind your beans too fine, and then it will stop up your espresso machine, and you will not get any espresso at all. And I think that's what just happened, because this thing is not having it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to have to wait till we do our Syracuse thing and come back while you're listening to that and fix it. So, the coffee scene smells good. I think, yeah, but I hardly got... Woo! Yeah, that's... Yeah, it didn't let enough water get through there. Okay, so I'll have to fix that. So, what happened was I ground it too fine. Because each bean and each roast is different, and sometimes you have to kind of do trial and error and play around with it. So under the coffee scene, like I said, there were five towns. I have Portland, Maine; Syracuse, New York; Lebanon, Pennsylvania; Reading, Pennsylvania; and Erie, Pennsylvania. And this week we're in Wheeling, and it's Monday night here. And I'm going to talk about Wheeling on the podcast at the end of this week. So I'm not going to talk too much about it today. So Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine is a very cool place. I really like the vibe there. It reminded me actually a lot of Seattle, Washington, because of the kind of the... it's a port, as the name suggests. And it has that kind of... I think it's... I don't know if it's on the same parallel geographically as Seattle or not. Perhaps. But it has a very cool vibe. It's cold weather, so a lot of, you know, usually where there's more colder weather, more people drink coffee. So it's definitely had a lot of coffee going on. I wish I would have been in better health in order to enjoy that, experience it. But yeah, so Portland, Maine, a couple places. One place is Javanet, which is down there close to the port area. And I wrote about theirs, had an okay drink. It was nothing too exciting in the foam or the chocolate. The foam was okay, a little loose, on the loose side. The chocolate was average, but a little on the heavy side. So it was an average taste, but it was a little bit too much of it, basically. And it was served auto to go cup, and they did ask on the whipped cream, so I gave them a 3.7. And as always, my bean rating scale, and some of the reviews, I haven't gotten all of them up there, because I'm up to well over 180, I think, now, written reviews that I have to work on getting up there, are at their, was it, best mocha latte, that's all one word, .blogspot.com. and that's where I have the bean reading scale and such. Next place in Portland is Zara's Monumental Coffee House. And they call it monumental because it's right on the triangle there. It's not really a square, triangle where there's a big statue. In any case, interesting drink. Espresso was a little weak, average foam, and blah chocolate. Not too bad, but not great either. And they did ask on the whipped cream, so I give them a 3.6. Next place in Portland, this is Coffee by Design. Now, there's a couple Coffee by Designs there. This one was on Congress, which I think, don't quote me on this, is the original Coffee by Design. I put best I have tried in Portland. Slightly better than average foam, nice chocolate taste, and nice espresso. They asked on the milk and whipped cream. So I gave them a 4.1. And that's all I really got to try in Portland proper, because like I said, I got sick. I don't know if it was some kind of food poisoning or what have you, but I wasn't able to really. I was eating like saltine crackers, and I don't know, simple carbohydrates, and because it was not, my stomach was not doing well. The last place in the Portland area was Wyndham, Maine, and I was up in Wyndham because I had to get the chain and sprocket replaced on my motorcycle. It had had its day, so I went up there, and there was a coffee bakery deli place within walking distance of the dealership. And by the way, those guys up there at Moto Milano did an awesome job on the bike, for anyone who cares about motorcycles. So I wrote for, it's called the Maine, as in the state Maine, Bean, Bakehouse, and Deli. I wrote, weak drink all around, blah chocolate, weak espresso, loose foam, would not drink again. It was served out of to-go cup, and there was no whipped cream, so I gave them a 3.0. Now, the establishment itself, the coffee deli place, was very cool. It was all like a log cabin kind of interior there, and big ceilings, fireplace, two levels to sit on, bookstore, and a little bookstore in the basement. So very cool place, but their mocha latte wasn't that great. And I'm trying to think the other places I reviewed. Zara's Monumental is basically a walk-in place. They had two small little tables. It's more of a kind of like a business grab and go. Javanet, they're kind of internet focused, so they had a couple computers. I think they had a couch or two, if I remember, in there. And there were two entrances, and they also had a counter by the window you could sit at, and a couple tables you could sit, and of course you can get Wi-Fi access there. And the other one, which was, let me look here, drumming up those. Oh, Coffee by Design. Also on the smaller side, kind of had an indie feel to it, like kind of, I wouldn't say punk, but kind of that I don't know what the right word, reminds me of maybe like Old City Philly kind of coffee shop. But in any case, that's Portland, Maine area. Next is Syracuse. The first place I tried was the Coffee Pavilion. Very nice place. They actually had a nice three-station La Marzocco machine, which remember when we interviewed Josh the barista, he said, he was saying about how La Marzocco's are kind of like the Ferrari of Ferrari of machines. So very nice machine. But I wrote here, I was disappointed with this drink. They served out of to-go cup. Decent foam, okay chocolate taste. Espresso was a little on the battery acid side, which is not a good thing. But they did ask on whipped cream, so I gave them 3.6 at the Coffee Pavilion. Next place was Freedom of Espresso, which is kind of, they have like a touristy district there with bars, and there's one coffee shop, a Starbucks, and a couple like upscale clothing places. I wrote here, I'm not a big fan of this drink. Nice chocolate, but loose foam, and blah espresso. Served auto to go cup, but they did ask on whipped cream. So I gave them 3.4 on their drink, a 3.4. Now, the next places will be in Pennsylvania. But before we get to Pennsylvania, while we're in Syracuse, we had Coffee Day for the band. And I think most of the band was there. And it was pretty, well, You'll see what happens when you sit around five circus band members down to drink coffee. Here we go. Okay, so we're here in the dressing room. This is for the podcast, Larry. All right, is that cool? Is that cool with you, Larry? So we're here in the dressing room. We just made some coffee. It's after the show, long week, and I got four guys here and little Caden. Don't take the cannolis. Don't take the hey. Don't take the cannoli. We got our setup here. I brought into the building today some. Couple different coffees, my new grinder, the KitchenAid grinder, the espresso machine, and just got a French press this week and got all the milk and the sugar, and so we had a little bit of coffee before the show, and now we have it's after the show, and we have homemade cannolis from one of the guy's grandmother's, Italian cannolis, and we got Larry here taking pictures. So Larry, what did you think about the coffee experience today?
I learned a lot. Learned a lot about coffee.
You learned a lot about coffee. Yeah. That's profound, Larry. That's profound. What was your favorite, the espresso or the coffee?
By far the espresso, although the coffee was very lovely also.
Now, how was the pairing of the cannolis with the coffee, Larry?
Exquisite.
Exquisite. You heard it from Larry himself. Exquisite. So I'm just going to go around and say hello to everybody here. We're sitting at a table in our dressing room. We have Steve here. Steve, what do you think about the coffee? This is for the Best Mocha Latte podcast, by the way. Everyone here teases me about my podcast. But except for Mod Dog. We have Mod Dog in the house enjoying the coffee. But what did you think about the coffee today, Steve?
It was very stimulating coffee. It let me use some caffeine effectively.
Caffeine effective? Did it help you get to the show?
Yes. It kept me awake the whole time.
Made me on edge.
What'd you say? I was edgy, and I placed all of my notes slightly more on top of the beat, yes.
Now, did you have to pee in the middle of the show? That's the big question.
I did, but I normally do anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you do the cross the leg thing to hold?
No, I wasn't that bad.
Okay. Yeah, we can't go any more in detail about that, or it gets an explicit rating. So we'll come over here and say hello to Robbie and Caden. Caden, do you want to say hello on the?
Hello.
Okay, that's Caden. He's here. He has a little. We have a visitor. You're on the podcast. Say hello.
Hello.
This is our wardrobe lady. She's here to tear. Are you here to tear down our room?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you like coffee?
I love coffee.
Would you like a cup? We have a fresh French press made up right here. Would you like some?
I would love some.
Okay. Well, we'll have to pour some. Yeah,
take it. Sit down and relax and slow down.
Okay. Well, help yourself, Lisa. We got cups over there, and so we got Caden here. Well, what do you got there, Caden?
He wants some more. What's in there?
What was in there, Caden?
Tell him what it was in there. What was in there? Coffee? So can I have some more coffee?
Can I have some more coffee?
Absolutely. Of course you can have some more coffee. Here, let me walk over here. We have our setup. We're going to get Caden. I think, is Caden a first-time coffee drinker?
Maybe out of a French press.
Out of a French press. He's enjoying. Here we go.
We'll
do it away from them so we won't burn them here. So we're pouring the French press. Give them a little bit more. Should be good. I think, did he have some milk in it too?
Yeah,
we'll have to. Add a little bit of milk for him. We'll come over here to Matt. So Matt, a.k.a. Mod Dog, the famous music that everyone's been tuning into every week. What was your opinion about the coffee today?
Oh, this is great coffee. It's kind of beats my Folgers and Maxwell House usually have. This is some tasty stuff. This gets you through the show. Gets me wired for this trip. We got to drive about 240 miles tonight, and this is definitely going to put on a little bit of an edge for it.
Is it enough to change you over to doing fresh ground French press coffee?
If you prepare it, yeah.
If I prepare
it. it's a little bit too much work for me. All I could do is have the coffee made ahead of time the night before and push the auto button, and the next morning there it magically appears. And if you can figure out how to handle all that with this, I could see that. This is very, very much better coffee experience.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I'll have to work on that, Matt, see if I can invent something. What's can you give us a little preview of what we have coming up this week to listen to on the podcast? You have a new one that you told me, I think this is your best yet.
Well, this is a dance one. It's just, considering we're all kind of wired from the coffee today, it's pretty appropriate because I cooked this one up in Portland, Maine, and it's definitely a dance fever. I like it. I hope everybody likes it. It's a little retro-y dance club 80s, 90s type thing, but it's a lot of fun. I hope you like it.
Cool. Very nice. And then last but not least, we have Robbie over here. Robbie, what's your opinion of the coffee experience?
It was very lovely.
Okay, he said it was lovely, in a word. It was lovely. So that about covers our coffee here at the where are we this week?
We're in Syracuse, New York.
That's right, Syracuse, New York. Yeah, it starts to all run together. Oh, we have lots of cups here. Here, we'll get you a cup, Lisa. Bear with us as we hook Lisa up with a cup. All right, so we're going to pour the French press here. Get one more cup of coffee before we sign off.
He's hanging out with the big boys.
There's no percolator there.
Percolator?
That's what my husband swears by.
Oh.
Season percolator, which means you never clean it out.
Yeah. This is going to be much smoother than what you're probably used to with the percolator.
Very good. Very, very good.
You like
it? That's what I have at home. My coffee maker is a French press.
So you swear by the French press?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, I think if you're going to make regular brew coffee, French press is the way to go. So, well, that about covers for, we have the cannolis here. It looks like we're doing some damage to them. They're nice looking, very small with the powdered sugar, and I think they have the mascarpone cheese. And I'm going to leave the final words to you, Steve, from Steve, our bass player.
I have nothing else to say, I'm afraid. I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but this coffee was very good.
Okay.
Thank you for making coffee today.
And if Jocko were still alive, what would you say to Jocko?
I would say, Jocko, you rule. Have some coffee, Jocko.
There you heard it. Steve would tell Jocko to have some coffee. All right, back to the podcast. All right, well, welcome back. So that was a lot of fun. We had a good fun that day up in Syracuse. Cannolis were amazing. They really were. And it was quite a challenge, actually, taking my whole coffee setup, because I have my espresso machine, French press, brought some milk, had to keep that cool, and the new grinder. So I'm going to quickly go through the process here again. I got I got more water here, more ammo. So we're gonna go through and try to do it a little bit, bigger particle. And while I'm gonna talk here while I'm setting this up. So coming up, we have the Pennsylvania coffee scene. Now, in Pennsylvania, I haven't really seen too much. It's not that whole northeastern, you know, in the mountains kind of feel for most of it. I mean, Erie, you kind of have a little bit of that because it's by the lake. But, there we go. I can't remember this thing. But, it's Pennsylvania doesn't seem to have quite as much coffee as everywhere else. This week we're in Wheeling. Well, wait till this finishes. Okay, there we go. Oh, that's looking good. Yes. Just plowing right through it. That's right. Like a hot knife through butter. All right. So, let me pack this up. So, yeah, Pennsylvania doesn't seem to have quite as much in the way of the coffee scene. This week we're in Wheeling, West Virginia, and there's more. It's a smaller town than Erie, Pennsylvania, where we just were, and there's actually more coffee going on in this area. I mean, granted, it's a little sliver kind of between Pennsylvania and Ohio, but there's more coffee going on in this town than there was in Erie. There we go. That should about do it. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Coming up in the next couple weeks, we're in Wheeling this week, and then we're going to be in Elmira and Binghamton. We actually have a split week where we do two towns in 1 week, and circus talk for for a split week. And then we have Thanksgiving break for Turkey Day, and then we go to Virginia, Charlottesville and Roanoke, Virginia. And I'm hoping to get over to Williamsburg there, my old stomping grounds, and review a couple of the, maybe do a podcast from there, and review some of the coffee going on over there in Williamsburg. So, yeah, let me fill this up here. So this is round two. Last time I clogged the espresso maker here because the grinds were too fine, and so basically they were so fine that no, the pressure couldn't push any water through at all. Which is a bad thing, because then it can't extract the espresso. So let me tamp this down here. Alright. So this is round two of Nathan's espresso coffee. There we go. Alright, put that on there. Put it up here. And start the pump. Here we go, folks. Drum roll. And it looks like... Uh-oh. This isn't a good sign. Oh, wait. There may be life. Aha! Looking better. Okay. Well, let's see here. It's going a little bit slower than I'd like. It's kind of dribbling out, but... just throw that in there for good measure. Yeah, grinder. Alright, well, that should about do it. I don't think it was too good of a shot because there's not really too much crema. That's the kind of the foam on top. So, I'll take a sip of it here. Not bad, actually. Not bad. Not quite what I want, but I'll go with that. So, as I'm sipping my espresso here, and hopefully you're sipping your coffee wherever you're at, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Java and Juice Cafe. So the back of the coffee scene here. I was over visiting my my brother and his wife and seeing his new house, and while I was over there, of course, I had to try out some coffee. And the Java and Juice Cafe, I wrote Icky. For those of you that are Monty Python fans, I put practically / non-existent foam, weak espresso taste, Astone milk, average chocolate taste, served auto to go cup. Just not a fan of this drink, so I gave them a 3.1. And next up is Lemon MPA. Got to visit my folks and get some work done on the house, the RV here. And I stopped in at the Cumberland Coffee and Tea Company. It's called that because it's right on Cumberland Street, right there in downtown Lebanon. And I wrote, espresso wasn't great, but it was okay. Yucky chocolate. and really loose foam, made for a weak overall drink. But they did ask on the whipped cream, so I gave them 3.5. And it's a nice little cozy place there in downtown Lebanon. Trying to do good things with coffee. You can buy beans and so forth there, and even get soup and sandwiches. And so yeah. So yeah, and as it looks, oh yeah, that was, it's number 175 actually on my written review. So I may hit 360 for this year. We'll see. I still got about a month and a half yet. Next place is Mad Hatter's Coffee and Tea. Now that's Mad Hatter's is in Cleona, Pennsylvania, which is between Lebanon and Hershey. Hershey being the home of the chocolate bar that we all know and love. Very decent drink, I wrote. Best I've tried in Central PA thus far. Has okay foam, decent espresso, chocolate, and chocolate is average. Asked them whipped cream, and would drink again. So I gave them a 4.0 on Mad Hatter's. And it turns out Mad Hatter's used to be the place where I used to get my teeth. Used to be in dentist's office, and then they sold it. Dentist's office moved and turned into a coffee shop, and now I drink sugary chocolate coffee drinks in my old dentist's office. So it's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a enamel irony, I guess. But I'm sure the tooth, fairy will be out to get me again. Because sugar and enamel, they don't mix. All right, Reading, Pennsylvania, where we played here 2 weeks ago. City Espresso, which is on, there's two of them actually, and the original is on 124 South 5th Street. And I wrote about theirs. It was, well, it was served in a warmed in-house cup, which is the way it should be for in-house. But it added auto whipped cream, which is a no-no. You should always ask on that because it adds sugar to the drink, and I'm a purist and like to taste it without the added sugar. So, and there was no foam since it was covered with all that whipped cream. Slightly less than average espresso and okay chocolate. So if it wouldn't have been for the whipped cream, I think it might have been a little better. The espresso, they could have pulled a better shot, but it was alright. I gave them a 4.0. Now the decor in the City Espresso was definitely, I wouldn't say out of place for Reading, but it was definitely way beyond what I expected to find in Reading. So it was a nice find inside. They had old church pews, some nice couches, some glass tables, very old. It was like, it's an antique building, really. So you have some of the sconces and the molding around the ceiling, and they had curtains in there, with the fabric. So. An old kind of tile mosaic floor, so a very nice atmosphere in there. Next place, back in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Lebanon, not Lebanon. Lebanon's a country over in the Middle East. Lebanon, Pennsylvania, however, there's one called Higher Grounds Coffee Bar. I wrote about this drink, too watery, exclamation mark. Not much taste to this drink, really loose foam, bitter espresso, black chocolate served out of to-go cup, will not drink this again. I gave them a 2.6. Now, in the environment, on the other hand, they definitely put a lot of money into the environment, but wish the drink would have been a little more attention to the drink there. So very nice environment, great room with fireplace, mirror chairs. The front room has lots of sunlight right there. It's also on Cumberland Street, as a matter of fact. And there's free Wi-Fi there and so forth, but yeah, 2.6 on the mocha latte. And last two places here, there's four places. Erie, Pennsylvania, where we were last week, right on Lake Erie, of course, with its namesake. A place called the Floral Gallery. Now, I've been to combination coffee shops before. There's one in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is, it was a tanning salon and a coffee shop together, which I find weird. But, if you're one who goes for tanning, or maybe you're even the boyfriend of a lady who likes to tan, I guess it's a nice alternative if, your girlfriend wants to go, or significant other or wife wants to go tanning, and why not have a good cup of coffee while, she's getting skin cancer in there. But I digress. So tanning salon but this was a flower place and a coffee place in one. And they did soup and sandwiches like paninis. I got their Italian Club panini. But I wrote about their drink. Was this a real mocha latte? Question mark. It tasted like a Nescafe mix drink to me. Very weak espresso. Though there was chocolate in there, a served in-house cup, and they did ask on the whipped cream, but it just had a Nescafe taste. It could have been white chocolate. I've encountered a few places that automatically put white chocolate with the dark chocolate into the mocha latte, which makes for that kind of almost marshmallowy kind of powdered drink taste to it. But I gave them a 3.0 on that drink. Next place is back in Lebanon, PA again. And there was a place in the mall there, Lebanon Valley Mall, called Special Perks. Kind of not a sit-down place, just kind of grab and go. I wrote here, too much foam. They had way too much foam. Bitter espresso and dry-tasting chocolate. Served out of to-go cup and no whipped cream. Overall, unbalanced, low-quality drink. So just not good things from this place in the mall there. So I give them a 2.2 on that. And the last two places back in Erie, the Brick House Coffee. Brick House Coffee. This was quite a find in Erie. I had heard good things from a local person who recommended, and I was not disappointed. I wrote, this is one of the better mocha lattes I've had in quite a while. Nice foam. They kind of did latte art. I think they had a tight enough foam, but I don't think they knew what to do with it really with latte art. But I mean, it's still good foam, so you can't complain. Latte art's kind of like that little, I don't know, that little artistic touch on the drink. But it was served in-house cup, decent chocolate and milk taste, well-balanced overall. Only thing that would have had made it a little bit better would have been a tastier shot of espresso. So very fine drink. I gave them a 4.4 in this Brick House Coffee. And very nice environment. A lot of students there go there to study. It's, as the name suggests, in a brick house, old house turned into a coffee shop. And they do roast their own beans. So that's where we have our beans right here. And, oh. Yes, just had to do that. Okay, and last place, and this is going to shock everybody, is in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. And it was a Sheetz gas station. Now, let me explain before your ears perk up and you scoff and go, espresso at a gas station? No, Nathan, say it isn't so. Well, I'll tell you this. Sheetz is getting into the espresso. Like McDonald's, a lot of these commercial companies are delving into the crave that is the espresso. I guess you could call it the espresso revolution. My espresso is getting cold. The espresso revolution. And this is the second Sheetz that I've tried. The first one was up in State College, if you'll remember up there. And it was pretty decent. Now, I watched this time as they made the drink. They I don't know how to say the name. It's a Simonelli espresso machine. And they use pods, which is the pre-tamped, pre-ground espresso. And they use pods to make it, which, you know, I think pods do, as far as taste-wise, is better than a super auto machine, which super auto is a machine that grinds it, tamps it, and pulls the shot with you just pressing a button. But so they use pods, and the milk was frothed by the guy there, and they use Ghirardelli's chocolate sauces. So, I mean, it's not 100% foolproof combination, but with, you know, you get someone who can push a button and froth a decent, you know, pitcher of foam and get the right amount of chocolate in there, you have a pretty decent mocha latte, actually. And it, to tell you the truth, this tasted better than half of the coffee shops that I tried. It tasted pretty decent. So how many times can I say decent in 30 seconds? I'll say decent one more time because it was a decent drink. So, yeah. It's a decent grinder. So pretty amazing, I wrote here, that a gas station chain can make a decent mocha latte. But they did have a Nuova Simonelli. I'm butchering the name. as I always do, machine, and they used pods. Actually, wasn't too bad. Had average foam, decent chocolate taste. They used Ghirardelli's, average espresso, and they did ask on the whipped cream. Of course, they had to be ordered to go cup because it's a gas station. They don't necessarily have tables to sit down at. So I give them a 3.6, a 3.6. Very decent there at, it was in Edinburgh, PA, off of exit 166, which I think is route, 79 South, exit 166 on 79 South. So, that wraps up the coffee scene. Sorry, I went a little long there today. I had to do a lot of catch-up. We're playing catch-up today, so, so we're playing catch-up this week. But next week, exciting things, Bean to Bowl series. We go to the brewing process, and after brewing, of course, is the bowel section, which I know everyone has been eagerly anticipating on their morning commutes. So next week is going to be the brewing process, so we'll talk about Turkish coffee, French press, a press pot, vacuum pot, pulling espresso, all that stuff. Anything coffee-related, extracting any kind of flavor from a coffee bean, we'll talk about it next week. And also is going to be the Wheeling, West Virginia coffee scene, which is where I am today. Went out, drank, tried a couple places. I wasn't too impressed, but you'll hear about it next week. And and if you have any comments or want to write and say hello, or tell me that you figured out a way to install an espresso maker in your car, take a picture and send it to me at bestmochalatte@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the webpage for this podcast, which is bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, or there's also a call-in line there on the webpage where you can call in and leave a nice message with your voice on there. Or it could be a computer approximation. I'm not picky, but there's a call-in line on there. And on that bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, I always put a picture up there for every week's show. And there's also a link to Mod Dog's music on there. And past podcasts, different pictures and such. So speaking of Mod Dog, this week has a brand new hit from Mod Dog. He said this is, as you heard him say on the coffee extravaganza from Syracuse, when the band sat down there. I'm going to call it, he calls it PDF, which is, it's not the picture file, no, not PDF as in picture, but PDF as in Portland Dance Fever. So here it is, Portland Dance Fever, and until next week, which it will be next week, so I'm back on the mocha latte wagon here. Drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye. I don't know.
Can I have some more coffee?